There are only a few reasons why someone should have their blood taken for vitamin D testing. They include people with certain bone and hormone conditions, kidney failure, or other metabolic problems. There's no evidence that screening for vitamin D deficiency is of any value, yet vitamin D testing boomed during the early 2000s at a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars. To the extent that about 6 years ago, the federal government tightened the rules for eligibility, and that resulted in a large and rapid decline in vitamin D testing. But the rates are rising again. The question is why, and are people being tested seeing a benefit from it? Professor Rachel Neal and her colleagues at the Queensland Institute of Medical Research have uncovered this growth in testing. They're conducting the world's second largest study of high-dose vitamin D supplementation. Welcome back to the Health Report, Rachel.
Good evening, Norman.
So just remind us quickly about that trial.
So that's the D-Health trial, and in 2014, we recruited about 21,000 adults from across Australia.
Just a little study.
Just small. And we essentially flipped a coin and assigned half of them to take a vitamin D tablet and the other half to take a placebo tablet for 5 years. So our last participants who were recruited took their final tablet in February this year, and we are now deep in our data and hope to release some results very soon now.
And what outcomes are you looking for?
Well, look, our primary outcome is actually all-cause mortality. So we're interested in whether or not taking vitamin D actually helps people to live longer. But we are also looking at a whole range of other outcomes like heart disease, acute respiratory tract infection, and in fact, that may well be the first outcome that we publish on.
Yeah, because people are saying COVID-19 might be related to vitamin D levels.
Yeah, so that's of great interest, and we're very, very close to releasing that result for publication, although it'll take a while to get out. But we've got lots of other outcomes as well. We're really interested in a sort of holistic view of vitamin D. So lots of people say anecdotally, when I started taking vitamin D, I felt better. We all know about the placebo effect. We wanted to see if that's real. So we're also measuring things like mood, general well-being, bodily pain, sleep, and those sorts of things as well. Because even if vitamin D doesn't make us live longer, if it makes us feel better, it may be worth taking. So we're taking a really holistic view of that.
So presumably as part of the study, you came across this rise in vitamin D testing. How much is it going back up again?
Well, between 2015 and 2019, it's increased by about 30%. So it's not a sort of rapid increase, but it is concerning nevertheless.
It's almost back to where it was then.
It certainly is getting somewhere close to back at where it was. It's not quite there yet, but it's on its way to being there. And I think the really interesting thing about these trends that we're seeing in vitamin D testing is that, you know, it went up a long way, as you said in your introduction. It went up very rapidly. In fact, it increased 128 times between January 2000 and December 2013. And so that's when the government did a review of the whole thing and said, okay, this has to stop. So at the end of 2014, when they brought in the new rules, this rapid decrease, and now it's going back up again. And
they really
have, well, no, and that's what's really curious, that there are no changes in population demographics or in the clinical characteristics of our population or in knowledge about vitamin D that would drive these trends. So there has been, well, in fact, we don't have great contemporary knowledge about the prevalence of vitamin D deficiency in Australia. The last study was done a little while ago. So it's about time to release some data on that again. But I think what's very interesting is that if anything, enthusiasm about the benefits of vitamin D has waned somewhat since 2015, yet doctors are testing more. It's going up again. So it's a curious phenomenon.
With very little benefit.
Well, very little evidence of benefit. There may be benefit, but the reviews that have been done of vitamin D testing, of sort of population screening, which is what appears to be happening, have concluded that we don't have sufficient evidence to conclude that this is of benefit.
Do we know who's being tested?
We don't, and that is some work that we really need to do to understand. Well, we do know who's being tested in terms of really basic factors like age and sex. So we can see that the people who are being tested most frequently are our very elderly people. And in fact, yeah, there is an argument to say, well, why are we testing? Why are we not just assessing their likelihood of deficiency and supplementing without testing? Taking a moderate vitamin D supplement is safe and cheap, and it may be better to do that than it is to actually test.
So what's your advice for people listening?
That's a really interesting question, actually, when you present at a doctor and have a discussion about vitamin D testing and the benefits or otherwise. I was tested myself recently, in fact, without my knowledge, which is an interesting... Yes. Just discovered it had been done as part of a battery of tests, which is interesting because I don't fit any of the government guidelines that would justify me being tested. I have none of the clinical features and none of the other.
And you're
don't
not,
fit any of
and
the
you're
other
not
criteria.
Over 85, as far as I'm aware.
I don't think so.
Do you want to share the result with us, Professor Neil?
Well, this is interesting, actually. I was apparently classified as deficient, although there's a lot of controversy over the level that you would use to make that classification. More to the point, the tests that are done are not particularly accurate, and my experience with the test that was used to test my own blood is that it does tend to test a bit low. So I was advised by my doctor to take a vitamin D supplement, and instead I chose to walk in the sunshine at lunchtime every day during my lockdown period and get 5 minutes in the sunshine.
So speaking... go on.
Well, I was just going to say it's an interesting question about whether or not we should be tested. I think we need to be guided by our health professionals, certainly asking why they're doing a test.
Well, you've got a bum steer.
What the benefit is. You would hope that a doctor would discuss that with you before doing it, but limited time in general practitioner appointments always makes it difficult, I guess, to have all of those conversations.
And just briefly, what's the sun recommendation?
The recommendations are very difficult because there's a real lack of data around it. At the moment, the recommendations are that in summer for the whole of Australia, you're probably going to get enough vitamin D just by going about your everyday activities, so long as you're getting a few minutes outside between 9 and 4-ish. So if you arrive at your office at 7 in the morning and leave at 6 in the evening, you're actually probably not getting enough exposure during summer. You do need a bit of time outdoors. In winter, where I live in Queensland, a few minutes through the middle of the day is probably sufficient. But further south, the recommendations are to try and get half an hour to an hour in the middle of the day with some skin exposed. The challenge with that is that it's often really cold. So it's hard to go outside and get down to shorts and a T-shirt. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if you come from where you were born, you could. But we're doing some modelling at the moment to try and give some tighter advice around how to avoid the winter dip when it's too cold to go outside. So hopefully we'll get some tighter recommendations.
Okay, when you've got them, we'll bring you back on. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Nice to talk to you.
Professor Rachel Neil leads the Cancer Etiology and Prevention Group at QIMR in Brisbane.